This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Sunday, May 12th is Mother's Day, so this is a good time to talk about a book on motherhood. Anne Walsh spent a year interviewing mothers from all walks of life, with the end result being her new book, Out of the Mouths of Moms. Anne joins us on the line right now from Kempville, Ontario. Hi, Anne.
Hello, how are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us. So you put together this book by talking to a whole bunch of moms. What was the idea of doing this book in the first place? What led to it?
Well, my experience of motherhood, I was a bit shocked by how overwhelmed I was after I had my second daughter. I wanted children. I loved being a mom. And we had just moved out to the country, and I just felt cut off from everyone, and I was so sleep-deprived. And I remember thinking, all these people had children before I did. Nobody really mentioned this. They all seemed to, whenever I saw them, they all seemed to be doing great. And I thought, is it just me? I mean, I thought I was going to be really good at this, and I'm just not. And so, is it personal? Am I not cut out to be a mom? Am I failing as a mom? I generally just felt like I wasn't doing very well while my children were very young. I had my eldest daughter, and she was upset by the arrival of this new baby. And I talked to other moms about it and said, you know, how is your daughter or son adjusting to their sibling? Oh, they're the best helper, and they love their little sister or brother. And it made me feel so bad that, what did I do wrong? Did I not prepare her enough? Am I not giving her enough attention? And so I really felt like I was failing. And fast forward years later, I left my job as a college professor because I really wanted to work from home. And I went back to what I used to do, which was art therapy. And as women were coming to see me, all of these women would come in and they would tell me super similar stories. And I would think, well, that's exactly what the other mom was going through. And that's what that mom was going through. And I realized that all these women were suffering alone in their homes and then putting their act on to go out to look like they were just doing great. And it's a huge disservice because as long as they were each suffering independently, there was no community and it was pathologized because everyone else is doing okay. So initially, I had a group come together. I thought, I'm going to do group work. And that way, once they hear each other's stories, they'll realize they're not alone. The problem is, as soon as they were in a group, the way they communicated completely changed. And instead of just crying or saying how overwhelmed they were or frightened or feeling like a failure, they would talk about being sleep deprived and their kids weren't sleeping and their husbands weren't helping. The whole dialogue changed. So they weren't actually talking about the important stuff. And I realized that it's sort of, I've summed it up as motherhood has become a competitive sport. And so because there are so many different ways of mothering, we have more choices and options than ever. And so we're all making all these different choices. And then we try to convince ourselves that we've made the right one. And then we compare ourselves to other people. And somehow that makes us competitive, like, oh, well, she's doing that. That's why that's not working out. And she should have done like what I'm doing. And if you're competing, that makes you enemies. And when you're enemies, you can't be vulnerable. And so there's this whole guard up about, yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm great. And as long as we keep doing that, we can't be there for each other. And as women, connection is key. We need to feel connected to people. And if we're not able to open up and be authentic, then it's a challenge to our mental health because we have to be able to talk about these things openly, honestly. And when we do, then we realize that we're not alone. And it takes the whole stigma away. Then you realize, oh my gosh, we're all feeling the same way. This must be really hard.
Now, it's interesting you said at the beginning that you seemed more overwhelmed having your second child than when you had your first.
Yeah.
Is that normal, or is it usually the other way around? Sometimes women seem to be a little overwhelmed when they have their first child, and by the time they have their second or third, it's old hat.
Yes. Well, the combination for me, when I had my first child, we were living in a suburb, and I could walk everywhere. I could just take the baby, put her in the stroller, and I could walk to two different parks. I could walk down to groceries. I could get a coffee at a local coffee shop. And my mother, who I'm really close to, could take a bus that would take her right to the corner of my street. So I had stuff going on. It wasn't that overwhelming. But then after we had our second child, we had moved to have a bigger house because my husband was working from the house at the time. And so we moved so he could work from our property, but not in the house. And we were in a rural setting. I knew no one. My mother, who was supportive with my first child, was about an hour away and didn't have a car. And shortly after I had my second daughter, and that my eldest was reacting, you know, she was very upset and wouldn't let me comfort her because she was angry at me for having her. So it was like the perfect storm. And then my husband was diagnosed with PTSD, and he's not military. He was triggered by the birth of our daughter because he had suffered a lot of abuse in his home as a child. And what I have since learned is that many people who have had abusive situations when they're young in their childhood end up being triggered by the birth of the first child or the second child. So in this case, our second child looks a lot more like him, and I think that that was a trigger. So all of a sudden, I was dealing with all of these different factors, which just kind of piled up, and it made me feel more isolated. I didn't know anybody out here, so I couldn't just say, hey, can I stop by for a cup of coffee, or do you want to meet? Everybody was far, and then the people around me, my mom couldn't be around me unless I went to pick her up. My daughter was upset with me, and my husband was dealing with so much that I needed to be supportive of him, whereas I actually really needed him. So it was like the perfect storm of all of these elements coming together.
Is writing the book something for you that was kind of cathartic in the sense that, well, I hate to say it this way, misery loves company. The fact that you're just not alone in your situation is in a way a certain amount of comfort.
Well, for me, that came with when I was doing the groups. As soon as I started hearing from other women, it started to click for me, like, wait a minute, this wasn't just about the situation that I was in. This happens a lot, and why aren't we talking about this? By the time I wrote the book, I was writing it because I needed other people to have that experience that I had. The relief of, okay, this is a thing, and it's made worse through silence, and it's made better when we actually speak our truth and we're honest with each other and we can be mutually supportive. The best way that I could think of, because I couldn't get women to really say the same things when they're around each other, I thought if I wrote their stories, they can read each other's stories. And because I don't name the moms in my book, they were able to be very honest without feeling exposed.
Your book also brings together some different moms of different ages, moms of different cultures. So it's a mosaic of motherhood, is it not?
Yes, and that's really what I was looking for. When I set out to write the book, I didn't want a cookie cutter book because motherhood isn't cookie cutter. I mean, you know, there's such a variety of ways that mothers are taking on their role. So they might be working, they might be at home, they might be entrepreneurs who work from home, they might have a partner, no partner, maybe they weren't expecting to get pregnant and they did and now they have a child, or it took them 12 years to actually get pregnant, or they went through adoption. There's such a variety, and what they all had in common was it was a lot harder than they thought, and they could have used some extra support.
We've got less than a minute, so I've got one more quick question I want to ask, and that is, the book is called Motherhood from the Source. It's obvious that you're trying to get information out there to potential moms. Is this also a good book for the men in their lives, for dads?
It's an eye-opener for men for sure, and I think it's a good tool to open up communication about what's helpful and what's not. But I want to mention that I am following up with another book where I will be interviewing men, and I'm thinking of calling it Daddy's Diary, but I haven't done all the searches to make sure that name hasn't been taken in some way, so I don't want to pronounce the name right now, but I have already lined up some men to do a second book because I think it's sort of like a men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of thing, where I think it's good to have both sides because there are misunderstandings from men and from women, because we're changing, we're constantly changing and redefining our roles. And so one of the things that struck me while I was interviewing women is that many of their husbands had something significant happen in their life right after they had the baby. Mm. And they said, oh yes, my husband had this big fight with his dad and they haven't spoken since, or, oh, he got fired, or something massive. And I started to be intrigued by this pattern. And I saw that there's actually postpartum for men, and it's got different symptoms than for women. And so oftentimes I think it goes undiagnosed. And this is important, because if in this is this day and age when we don't have as many supports, maybe family supports around us, we rely even more heavily on our husbands. And if our husbands are not supported or doing well, then that affects our mental health as well. And so I think the more we understand about how to support women and men after they've had a baby, the better off families will be, the children and the parents.
The book is called Out of the Mouths of Moms.
Yes.
And it's written by Anne Walsh. Anne, I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Oh, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Anne Walsh, author of Out of the Mouths of Moms. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the page for this show, which is show number 0507. And you'll find links to Anne's website and also links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.